thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
In 2014, our hearts were stirred to really challenge each and every one of us in the church to start something fresh, start something new, start something that's going to make a difference in your life, start something that's going to make a difference in your family, start something that's going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. So we've been talking about that. We've been using the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, because it's a faith chapter. And I believe it takes faith. If you're going to start anything that's going to be lasting or successful, it takes faith. So we've been using the examples that we find in Hebrews chapter 11 of these people who started these things. Now, to successfully start anything, you must make right choices. Or I could put it another way. You're going to have to learn what to say no to. If you're going to start something, now, we are not dealing with starting a new diet, because everybody starts a new diet. I should say, not everybody. I start a new diet all the time. But I don't talk about starting a new diet or starting a new exercise program, although those things are good. I'm talking about something more significant. Let's start something that is eternal, that has some eternal meaning behind it. Let's start something that's going to make for a better marriage. Start something. Begin to identify with the help of God's Spirit. What do you need to begin to say no to that you've been doing that is not made for the best of marriages? Let's start something that's going to put us on a greater journey of learning more about our Lord and Savior. How about starting something where you're going to read the Word a little bit more than you've read it before? You're going to join a Bible study. You're going to join a ministry team. You're going to look at your finances, and you're going to start giving to the kingdom of God, even though you can't see where you can get that money to give. But by faith, you're going to start something that's going to have some eternal consequences and results of it. That's the kind of starting that we want to do. I want to continue with that today, and we're going to use Moses as our example. But all of us know that life is made up of decisions. Choices. From the time you get up in the morning, you make a decision whether or not you're going to get out of bed or not. You make a decision what kind of clothes you're going to wear. You make a decision whether you're going to eat or not eat and what you will eat. So decisions are made all day long. Life is made up of decisions. If you're going to move forward, it has to be decisions. But in terms of Scripture, temporal things and eternal things are based upon your decisions. You make a decision every day whether or not you're going to follow a fleshly self approach to life, or you're going to follow what we would call a faith walk, something that is more eternal and more rewarding to God than it is to you. When you think about it, you determine someone's maturity based on the amount of right choices they make. If a person is known to make right choices all the time, you would say that person is a mature person. The other side of the coin is, if they're making wrong decision, shows a lot of immaturity about them. From the very beginning of time, Adam and Eve had a choice to make. Unfortunately, they made a choice that was against and in disobedience to God. You would say, well, it was just a simple thing, but yet it was something that impacted each and every one of us. The choice came down not just whether you eat of the tree or not. The choice came down to who are you going to obey? Are you going to obey God? Or are you going to obey Satan? And they chose to obey the lie which came from Satan. And really, that's where decisions come down to. Are you going to obey the flesh? Are you going to obey the pride of life or the lust of the eyes, the lust of the spirit, Satan's deceptive lies? Or are you going to obey by faith the things that are of God? That's a choice that we will make. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8 says that if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal rewards. Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Lord said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. It is God's will that you choose life. It's God's will that you have an abundant life. It's God's will that your life be filled with joy. It's God's will that your life will be filled with just His presence, and it really is going to be based on what you choose or don't choose. Joshua, after he led the children of Israel in at the end of his life, he says, choose whom you will serve. Then he went on to say that famous words, as for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. In Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 18, when he was there battling the forces of darkness as the children of Israel were now serving Baal, and he said, how long will you hang between two decisions? Make a decision. You have two opinions of life. You know, unfortunately, I see this in Christianity today. There are people who claim to be Christians. They go through the acts of being Christians, and yet they're always going back and forth between two opinions. It's kind of one foot in and one foot out all the time. How long are we going to allow that to go? Let 2014 be different. Make a choice for the things of God, and then don't turn back on them. The flesh and the devil will always tempt you to go the other way. In Hebrews chapter 11, choices were made all the time by faith. Enoch chose to walk with God. Noah chose to be obedient to God. Abraham chose to leave and follow God. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph chose God's way and not their way. Question, who are you going to choose for 2014? Right choices are made on the basis of faith. Because sometimes the things that are thrown toward us, either by the culture pressure or Satan's temptation, are somewhat attractive to the flesh. And it's at that moment when that attraction is thrown before us as a temptation that we have a choice and a decision to make. And it's also at that moment that you don't see the spiritual substitute that's going to be nearly so interesting. That's just a fact of life. Let me give you a definition of faith that's a little bit different than I've talked about before. Faith is when somebody really trusts in God and believes that God honest and truly has his or her best interest at heart. Because that's where it gets down to. Do I trust this, what I could just take a hold of right now and get this kind of instant relief, or do I believe and trust that God has my best interest at heart, and therefore if I just believe by faith, he's going to work that out for my life. Now, Moses is a great example, and I want to talk about Moses a little bit. Things that faith rejects is the title of this first part. Number one, faith rejects the world's prestige. Instead of Moses, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused, say the word refused. How many know that was a choice? It was a decision. He refused at that moment to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's 40 years old now. He's a prince, possibly in line to be Pharaoh, number one person. But he made a choice. He refused. How did he make that choice? How did he come about making that choice? Because you see, it was a crucial decision. It was one that would change his life. It was not an easy decision to make. In his face was prestige, fame, recognition, the prowess. He had it all there, but something inside of him said that, man, am I going to keep living this way, or am I going to go back to who I know to be my people? Here's a question I've always had, and I think I have an answer today. How did he know at that moment? What was it that stirred his heart to even think that these were his brethren, so he would make the choice? Well, here's how it happened, and it was a miracle. Do you remember when Moses was born? There was an edict that went out from the Pharaoh to kill all the male children. The population was growing too strong, and therefore Pharaoh said, we can't allow this to happen. He ordered the Egyptian midwives, if it's a boy, drown the boy. These Egyptian midwives, fortunately, saw Moses, did not drown Moses, gave it to the mom. The mom had enough faith, and the father had enough faith. They looked at this child, and something told them that this was a very special child, and that God had a special calling on this child. So they took a step of faith and courage, hid the child for 3 months as long as they could, keep that child quiet in her house. And then when that could no longer be true, they took the child, put it in a basket, sent it down the Nile River by faith. Miriam, who was Moses' sister, she follows that basket down the Nile River. She's making her way through. She's looking. And as it gets to the near the palace area, Pharaoh's daughter is out, whatever they were bathing or something like that, sees this basket. It is brought to her, and there's a child in it. Miriam, who is standing by, runs over to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "Hey, would you like for me to find a Hebrew mom that can wean this child?" "Yeah, you can do that." Guess what happened? Miriam takes Moses back to the mom. So the mom gets the child back for at least 3.5 years minimal, maybe up to 7 years. So let's say 5 years. During that time of weaning, what do you think Jochebed is doing, the mom? She is singing, praying things into the spirit of Moses. She is beginning to rehearse. She is opening up little stories that children could understand about the promises that were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise of a land flowing with milk and honey, a promise that God would bring them into an inheritance that would be an abundant inheritance. So somehow Moses got it then. Train up a child in the ways of the Lord, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Parents, it's important what you speak into your children. It's important how much time you take to pray over them. You might say, "Well, they're not understanding." I guarantee the Spirit is taking in something. It's taking in faith, because that's what happened to Moses. So when Moses was 40 years old, it happened to him. It happened to him that he saw that he was different. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 23. "Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." So you have 40 years in Egypt. God is training him to make him something. 40 years in the desert, he broke him back to nothing. And then the next 40 years, he used them. Take that for what it is. But it worked in Moses' life. But at 40, the crucial decision was made. Egypt or his people. Throw aside everything in the palace, the prestige, the honor, the fame, and live like a slave. And Moses chose to live like a slave. Something got a hold of him. 1 John chapter 2 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world, or if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides," how long?
Forever.
Do you make a choice for the temporary, or do you make a choice for the eternal? Faces us each and every day. Write this down if you can. I don't think I put it on the screen or your notes. The strength of faith is proven by self-denial. Did you get that? The strength of faith is proven by self-denial. If you practice self-denial, there's only one way that you can truly practice self-denial, is if you believe that God can work it out some other way. I'm willing to deny the pleasures of myself. I'm willing to deny the things of the world, the things that come my way that are temporary, because I believe that God has a bigger and better plan. I might not see it now. It's not visible to me, but that's why I say the strength of faith is proven by self-denial. Baron von Welz, Englishman, renounced his title, his estates, his revenues, and went to be a missionary to British Guiana. Here's what he said. What is it to me to bear the title well-born when I am born again in Christ? What is it to me to have a title Lord when I desire to be the servant of Christ? What is it to be called your grace when I have need of God's grace? All these vanities I will away with, and all else I will lay at the feet of my dear Lord Jesus. He made a choice. He would give up those things of the world, the prestige, the fame, in order to choose Christ. Number two, faith rejects the world's pleasures and plenty. Not only prestige, but the world's pleasure and plenty. Choosing rather to suffer affliction, Moses said, with the people of God, than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Let me say this. Sin is fun. Pause. For a season. You can't tell me it isn't. There are things that are very attractive and very fun to do, but it is for a season. Moses realized this. It's something we ought to get a hold of. Job chapter 20 and verse 5 says, the triumph of the wicked has been, what? Short-lived. And the joy of the godless has been, what? Only temporary, a little while, a short season. Jesus, when he was trying to get this point across, there was a rich man who had a lot of possessions. And he went to this rich man, and this rich man said this, I will say to my soul, he was very self-minded, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? It's been fun having all these things. But what we don't realize, and the deception of the enemy is that for some reason we're going to hold on to those things for eternity. Why would we invest so much energy, so much of our time to build this and accumulate all these things that make for pleasure and plenty, and then realize that none of us are going to be towing a cargo with a hearse to the graveyard? It's all going to be gone. It passes away. Only the things that are eternal will last. So the choice comes down to this. What kind of choices are you making? Eternal choices or temporary choices? Moses rejected it. Now get this. He rejected, and here's the reason. He believed God. Basically, faith says, sorry. God said no, therefore, I'm going to go do it his way. Does it make sense? It's not something that I can explain to you, but I know God said it, therefore I'm going his way. Think about this one for a moment. When you sin, who do you really believe? You believe the devil's lie when you sin. He goes around seeking whom he may devour, but when you believe God, and here's what I found out. The closer you get to Jesus, the easier it is to avoid temptation. When you can move in closer to Jesus and you set your focus and your attention of just falling in love with your Savior more and more every day. And for men, let me speak to the issue of being macho or not being macho. To me, it takes more of a man of God to draw closer to Jesus than to do anything that this world has said to be macho. It really is. To stand strong and be a man of God takes guts. It takes courage. It takes saying no. It takes doing what is right in spite of what others will say to you when you're doing it. Fall in love with Jesus. It's like when I tasted of the joy that Jesus brings, I haven't found anything else to replace that joy. And I pray to God I never will. Because there's something about that joy, there's something about that taste that you could never replace. And when you think about that joy that he brought to you by your deliverance and bringing you from where you were to where you are today, when you think about that, you're saying, how ridiculous would it be for me to go back? Why would I want to go back to those things? Yes, it's a temporary relief, but that temporary relief in making the wrong decision steals the joy that I have in my heart. And I don't want it to happen. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. That means he judged, he carefully decided, he considered. And in his heart, he made a decision for the eternal reward, choosing between getting it all here or getting it there. 3, faith rejects the world's pressure. And I want to tell you, there's pressure that comes with the decision to follow Jesus. It comes from your peers, it comes from your family, it comes from those you work with, it comes everywhere, the pressure. If you decide to follow Jesus and you get radical enough to go to church every Sunday, that's not much of a commitment, folks. But if you get radical enough, someone will say something to you. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you read your Bible? Why would you say no to this party and want to go there instead? There's pressure that comes. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There's a pressure to be dishonest. There's a pressure that comes from friends to join in with their activities. There's a pressure that comes from family that they never understand, and from other peers. I love this verse out of Romans chapter 12. It comes out of the Phillips translation. Don't get what? Squeezed into the world's mold. Do you ever feel like you're getting squeezed? Don't conform. Pressure to loosen up. Pressure because you might lose popularity or you'll feel like an outcast or people won't like you. There is that kind of pressure. Now, here's the difference. Moses made a heart renunciation and not just a physical one. I say that because sometimes we think, well, if I'll just physically, I'll walk away from it, and it's almost, it's self-will. It's you trying to muster, I'll walk away from it. Until you make a heart renunciation of the things that are not of God, it doesn't work. It's got to be a conviction down here that you are saying no before the opportunity is up there to say no. You have just decided that you're going to follow Jesus and say no to it all. Proverbs 29, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now, I want to address this thing. He stood strong under the pressure because he saw the invisible. What did he see the invisible? Let's bring this down to where it really works. Not just did he see the invisible God, but he saw the invisible hand of God. He saw the invisible presence of God. He saw the invisible promises of God. They were right there. So every time that he was challenged with the pressure of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life, he saw that invisible presence of God, and he knew that God was right there to help him through it and bring it to pass, what needed to be brought to pass. Now, quickly, let me go to the second part, things that faith accepts. I say quickly because they're just contrast to the other. Faith accepts God's plan. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. They saw God's plan. And it was a lot different than someone else's plan. They knew that he was to be set apart. Number 2, faith accepts God's provisions. By faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, but lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. They trusted in God's provisions. The temptation would be,